Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Kate Loving-Chang, and Joan Adams, and I host the show. Easy World Julia joins us tonight, Julia Rogers-Hemrick. She had a fall last week and could not join us because she was in the hospital. How could we have an Easy World experience during a so-called traumatized experience? Julia will tell us how. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Joan Adams. Hello there, Joan.
Good afternoon, Kate. I'm glad to hear that Julia's better.
And she's on the other line, so let's hear from her how she is.
Wonderful.
Hello, Julia.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm much better than last week at this time, I can promise you.
Oh, bless your heart.
That was crazy.
I bet. It's always a trauma for people to have to go, I mean, maybe so-called trauma, to go into the hospital.
Well, you know, the fall that I took was one trauma, but then the whole call the ambulance and go in the ER and get all the tests and all, that's another trauma. And
right.
Then,
yeah.
You know, the ER doc was just certain that I had a fracture and that I had to have surgery. And so that put me a little bit in difficult world, and I don't know if you want me to go ahead and tell the story, or maybe we ought to wait for the exact story. But
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so actually, tonight Rick and I went to the doctor today for my first follow up, and on the way home we stopped at a restaurant, and the hostess of the restaurant asked me what happened, and I told her, well, it wasn't a very glamorous story. And I told her, and she said, yeah, you need to make up a better story. So I made up a great story. And here's the story that the idealized version of this was that I heard a little girl crying out in the yard, and it was the little girl from next door, and she was crying because her kitten was on the roof. And so I climbed up on the roof to save her kitten, and I got the kitten, and I would have been able to get off the roof without injury, but I had to cradle the kitten, so I had to fall off to get off the roof to protect the kitten. Okay, that's
Julia's wonderful.
A hero story. Anyway,
the hero story.
Okay, here's the real story. The real story is that I was walking my dogs outside around the house, and we live in the woods, and so the ground is a little bit uneven to start with, but you know, I was doing okay. We came around the corner, and a cat that's stray or belongs in the neighborhood somewhere, that always seems to be wandering around, jumped out of the bushes, and my dogs just bolted. And it took me off balance, and I tried to steady myself, and when I stuck my foot out to get a better balance, it kicked a berm, and I fell over onto my hip. So that's the story.
Ooh.
And
yeah.
It was one of those, stupid feeling things, you know? But it was all happened so fast, there really wasn't anything much I could do. So here's
the... It must have hurt, right? It must have hurt a lot.
Yeah, it didn't feel real good, no. And the dogs ran off. I had to let go of the leash because it hurt so much I needed to grab... You know, it was like my instinct was to grab my hip. The dogs ran off after the cat, and I was torn between freaking out over what had happened to me and what might be happening to the dogs, and... You know, they're not street, they're not streetwise dogs. So anyway, it all, you know, the little boy dog ran back to me. So I said, oh, he loves me the most. And Rick said, oh, no, because Lila, the girl dog, was at the back door to get him. So she had run for help. That's
oh, my gosh, that is so cute.
That's our romanticized version of what the dog did. But anyway, so Rolly came and stayed with me, and she went to get help. But here's a kind of an interesting, you have to wonder when these things happen that get your attention like that. You know, I'm still in the process of analyzing, okay, what was it that created that? How did I create it? Why did I create it? And so on and so forth. And I don't spend too much time over that because I could get into beating myself up over it. And, you know, that's not the point.
Which is pointless.
Yeah, it's totally pointless. And
I'm pretty sure. I'm just going to say, I'm pretty sure that trying to find a rational reason, which I have done all of my life, up until maybe the last year,
mm-hmm.
is really fruitless. A rational explanation will not really give you the insight that you need. You almost have to go straight to spirit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, your mind, that busy mind
mm-hmm.
wants to figure it out.
Sure.
So I'm deciding it's my punishment for insisting that my husband do something when I wanted him to do it rather than when he thought about doing it. And so I, instead of him walking the dogs, I was walking them. But here's the thing. He was on the other side of the house, excuse me, from where I had fallen. And I just thought, he'll never hear me because he's so far away from where I am, you know. And I laid out there calling his name, and I didn't even care what the neighbor, you know, if anybody heard me. It was like, just somebody help me. And he actually heard me because he needed a different tool than the one he had taken back there. So he was walking past the corner of the house where I was, and he heard me. And he said he thought it sounded like a hound dog, which was a little adding insult to injury. But anyway, I got his attention, and he came out there, and he went into, you know, he got a cushion off the lawn furniture, you know, the outdoor furniture, brought me a cushion to get onto, which I was able to slide onto, but I could not stand up on my own. I couldn't put any weight on that leg. And so I was not happy. But I was still in the denial phase of, let's see who we can call to help me, you know, stand up and get in the house and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So I made the mistake, if you want to call it that, of calling my older sister because I thought her son might be, she might know, you know, where to find him. And she said, well, you just need to forget about that and call an ambulance.
Uh-huh.
So Rick goes to find the insurance. He's thinking the whole time, yeah, that's what we should do, but I didn't want to do it, of course. So he goes and looks for insurance information. In the meantime, I'm out there sitting in the yard, and it starts raining. And I'm torn between feeling really pitiful and just, you know, laughing at the cosmic joke. And then I realize I'm under a little ornamental maple tree that has me canopied, and it was just a really light rain. So it barely got me. And he, of course, realized it was raining and ran back out there with a big golf umbrella and called 911 and so on. And they came, and the guy says, well, which hospital would you like us to take you to? And I said, none. And they said, well, we'll see about that. So they got me up, and then I still couldn't put any weight on that leg. So they went, well, okay, which hospital would you like to go to? So they took me to the hospital. Yeah, they took me to the hospital, and they were great, though. They were awesome. They were just wonderful, and I actually enjoyed their company, if you can, you know, have that,
sure,
you know, experience in the midst of the trauma. You can enjoy the people.
Oh.
And so they get me there, and they take me to get an X-ray right away, and the X-ray shows no break. So I'm like, yes! This is fantastic.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And the
ER,
but the ER doc says, now, I'm just not sure about this. I think you need a CAT scan because there could be a fracture that can't be seen by the X-ray. So I'm like, well, okay. So I go, you know, get the CAT scan, and I'm just sure that it's fine. You know, I'm just sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying it's fine. It's just going to be fine. I don't know what's wrong with it, but it'll be fine. And they get the results back, and he says, yes, you have a crack. You are going to have to have surgery. You're going to have surgery, and what was the last time you ate? And he had already, I'd already talked to him about letting me have. I already let, and I don't even anymore hardly drink soft drinks, but I needed a Coke because I was nauseous from riding backwards all that much in the ambulance and on the gurneys and all that. So I had they had these little miniature Cokes. So I had a little miniature Coke and some saltines to settle my stomach. And then he says, yep, oh, we've got a crack here. You're going to have surgery, and I should never let you have the Coke and the crackers because you definitely are having surgery. It's just a matter of when we can get you scheduled based on when the last time you ate was. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't want to have surgery. And he sends a nurse in there. He says, I'm going to set up the test, and the nurse is going to give you an EKG, and she's going to place your IV and all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh, no. Well, then I started thinking, you know what, Julia? Let it go. If this is what has to be, just go with it. You know, just stop resisting it and just go with it. So she does the EKG, and she's gone to get the IV stuff. And she's already poked around on my arm and everything. So I'm in there. We're the curtain, you know, the little pull-around curtain is closed. And Rick and I are sitting in there, and I'm going, I choose to live in easy world where everything is easy. I'm just crying my heart out and saying the easy world mantra. And the next thing that happens is instead she shows up, but also the orthopedic doctor shows up.
Well, that's about time, I say.
Yeah. So just exactly the right time, because I sure did. She was going to draw blood and put the IV in the same port, and I just wasn't looking forward to that, I can tell you. So he shows up and says, just wait a minute here. So he does some stuff, messes with my leg and my hip and does range of motion stuff, pokes me around a little bit, and he said, if you had a fracture, there's no way you could allow me to do this. You don't need surgery.
Right.
I was like, hallelujah, oh, my Savior, come. But that was right. Y'all, did you get that? It was right after I invoked Easy World.
Yes.
Maybe even more than that, right after I stopped resisting.
Yeah.
You know, right after I stopped resisting the situation and just said, okay, you know, I trust Spirit, and I'm just going to, you know, go with this, and these people are not my enemies. They are here to help me. You know, that was you get in that mode when you don't want something to be happening, you go into resistance. It's just natural. It's what the difficult world dictator takes every possible opportunity to put you in resistance, because that's his, you know, premier tool for keeping you in difficult world. So, you know, the minute I went out of resistance and remembered to invoke Easy World, this ray of sunshine, the orthopedic doctor walks in and says, oh, no, you don't need surgery. So he basically prescribed some stuff and told me to use a walker, and he'd see us at the first of the week. So I've been just hobbling around on a walker, which hasn't been that much fun, but it was a whole lot better. Every time I started feeling sorry for myself, I was thinking how much less fun recovering from surgery would be, and then hobbling around on a walker, you know? So anyway, I am living proof that one can invoke Easy World in the midst of a crisis and have it come through. Mm-hmm. And it always does. I mean, when you let yourself be in Easy World, it's not like Easy World came to the rescue. I just relaxed into Easy World and called out for it, and I have such a faith in it. You know, I think that's the biggie, and I think both of you are experienced enough that you know once you have some evidence that something works, it's ever so much easier to fully immerse yourself in it, you know, whenever you need it the next time.
Yeah.
So
well, that was,
you know,
that's a very good example, what you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's And it's funny because here I am, Easy World Julia, the Easy World messenger, the author of Choosing Easy World, you know, the person who's supposed to be so Easy World focused, and I hadn't even thought to choose Easy World the whole time until then. It just didn't even occur to me. And I think part of it was because I felt that I was already there. In part after the fall, when I just finally let go and let Rick call the ambulance and all that, and they were so nice and so reassuring, and I kind of relaxed into the situation, and it was when they started saying the S word, you know, talking about surgery is when I started, oh, no, I will not do that. No. Then I went into resistance, and the more I did, the more difficult world started showing up.
So the whole thing with Easy World really is letting go and surrendering. And,
exactly.
And when that, as soon as you resist, you are right smack in the middle of ego.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when all the signs of difficult world show up. So, yes, I am happy to have that story. And, you know, there's always a silver lining. So that's one of mine, is that I now have not just a story to tell other people about how Easy World's always accessible, but for myself to remember, a real loud and clear illustration to remind me of the power of it, so that I have that in my bank of evidence. Because you know, your left brain, your rational mind, is evidence addicted.
Right.
And it just always seeking evidence and past experience to, you know, work off of, because it doesn't have anything original. It, you know, it's not aligned with all the wisdom of all that is, the way that your spirit is. It's just kind of a stale entity that has to just work off stuff from the past. So,
well, that gets back to talking about, we were talking about pictures in our earlier show, but by the same token, a picture, a memory, anything that you can pop in there in your head keeps that helps keep us focused. Stay in Easy World. And I think that's true of what we read too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our reading and our TV watching, and I'm bad about sitting late at night watching news. But you know, we put that stuff in.
Right. And, you know, I do not watch news very much anymore, because every time I do, I think, okay, well, how much time and effort and energy does it take to get this out of your head once you've poured it in there? You know, you have to just keep. So, I'm not saying I don't watch television, because I do. You know, I kind of like, really, I like very, very much sort of junk food TV, and I think that's expressing my shadow. You know, I kind of like the Real Housewives of New York City and stuff, but as far as, and that just makes me shake my head and go, oh my God, they are such masters at creating difficult world. It's a sight to see. But, you know, it's, I think it's really important for us to manage our focus and pay attention. When have I taken in too much difficult world influence and energy and input? And when is it time to unplug from that and go back to, you know, in my case, and I guess this is a shameless plug for my book, Choosing Easy World, when is it time to pick up Choosing Easy World and get myself reimmersed in Easy World and higher vibrations and, you know, back in that safe vibrational space? You know, because Easy World is the world that love creates, and difficult world is the world that fear creates. So, you know, anytime you want to move into Easy World, you need to go where the love, where you feel the love, and where you know, brings out your loving aspects of self. And usually that is not the Real Housewives or the 11 o'clock news. At least for me,
right.
It's not.
So. Right. It isn't for me either. I'd say creating a bank of tools, a spiritual toolbox, to always refer to, always have at your side.
Yes.
Always have in your soul to refer to in times of the slippery slopes of fear can come overtake us at different times. And, you know, that happened to you, and it can happen to anybody. And it will happen.
Yeah. And
but,
when you're in
it
that,
it strengthens us. It strengthens us.
Well, when we're in that fear space, we're at lower vibrational frequency, and it's hard to remember the truth that you knew when you were at higher frequency.
Yeah.
So having, you know, things around that remind you and that anchor you to your the higher self of you, that higher vibrational being. And, you know, I was honestly, I hadn't even hardly talked about this. I talked about it to Rick a little bit, my husband. You know, I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I've been managing it very well up until recently with our move. We've just moved to North Carolina from Denver, Colorado, and, it was just the whole move. It was just a lot of work and details and physical labor and just, you know, it was just a harsh situation compared to what my body would really prefer, and a lot of eating food that isn't really right for me, and, you know, it's just, I was completely off balance with that. So I think that off balancing, and I felt really ungrounded since I got here, and I hadn't had enough rest. Well, this has certainly, you know, put me in a situation where I have to do a lot more resting. But I was, you know, I was in a really dark place the other day. I was in a place where I felt that this would never get better, that I would never feel better. I would never, you know, I didn't have anything to offer the world anymore, that I had, you know, pretty much put out there what I had to put out there. And if it was just going to, if life was going to suck like this, you know, spirit, just take me in a convenient, easy way. I mean, I'm not saying I was ready to kill myself. No way. I'm not a suicide person. I'm just saying it was like, look, I don't want to live this difficult world life. But I was just so far down vibrationally that all I could see was, okay, the only answer is either, you know, feel better right away or just die. You know, that's what looked like my two answers. And then, you know, I was like, wait a minute, Julia, you've written articles about this. You've talked to people about this. And one of my goals has been to write maybe an ebook or some kind of very accessible thing for people who are despondent and who are depressed and who just feel like there's no way out. That from that highest self of me, I can say that the despondency, the depression, is only because of being at lower vibrational frequency and being subject to the voice of the difficult world dictator, that fearful, beyond fearful, that ugly, hateful voice, that voice that wants you to believe that you're stuck and you don't have any options, you know? And I thought, wait a minute, this is something I know. This depression that I'm experiencing is I know exactly why I'm experiencing it, and I need to apply my tools, the things that I know. I need to move back to Easy World. And so, you know, I was lucky because I knew that already. I knew that none of that was the truth. I mean, it might have been the truth for me at that vibrational level, but it wasn't the ultimate truth, and it certainly wasn't the truth I wanted to embrace as my last gasp on earth, you know? It's like, I don't want to go out that way. That's pitiful. Pitiful. I know better than that.
I would think every reaction you have, though, is totally normal.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's what people go through.
That's right, and it happens every day.
Falls are very debilitating, no matter how you look at it. I mean, my brother just fell, and actually he broke his hip. And he lives in Norfolk, and I live up here in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And for some reason, I just decided I was going to go down there and hang out with him for a week. And I just took care of all of my affairs and went down, and he was in the world. He was in difficult world.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't you know, going in and laughing hysterically and having a great time. I just sat with him and gave him treatments, and we did healing, and my husband does distant healing, and we did distant healing, and just as the days, he had a terrible affliction of the restless leg syndrome, and well, he made a rapid recovery out of difficult world. Well, you know, we used to live in a commune back in the day, and we're very good friends, even though he's more than a brother to me, and his
uh-huh.
wife is much more than a sister-in-law.
Uh-huh.
We're very karmically linked, so it didn't take too long. I mean, I could tell just by entering his sphere. And another thing is, for me to drive anywhere, is that kind of distance, and make it without a flaw, is a total miracle. I mean, I could have gotten lost. I mean, I knew where I was going, but it was, and it's a long trip, and I had only slept 3 hours, and I don't get much sleep because I work night shift, and I was determined to get down there without a hitch. And so anyway, as time went on, he made a transformation before my eyes that I just love to see. He just, his restless legs stopped. He was able to sleep. He did everything that the doctors tell him to do in terms of physical therapy and exercise. And he doesn't even use, right now, that was just a few weeks ago, he doesn't even use a cane anymore.
Wow.
And he's just really determined. Yeah, he's really determined. And so at the end of the visit, he says, you want to see a movie? And he brings out this great movie by Martin Scorsese called Shine a Light. And it's one of the greatest Rolling Stones thing you've ever seen. Digitally magnificent, the Rolling Stones doing certain concert tunes. And the energy of that, of those men who are his age, you know, they're 70.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah,
and
they're
his age.
Out there.
And,
yeah.
Absolutely energized, and he was in his seat dancing away and everything.
Wow.
And we had, and I just thought that was inspiring. So
Kate,
we had
can you come visit me, Kate?
Yeah, exactly. We had, I mean, it was a wonderful healing verification for me that healing to me is my niche. You know, I just love the whole concept of healing everywhere I look. You know, and it's just, I feel like whenever there's a situation where you're presented with calamity, you know, or certain death, or even near death, it's the only answer is to go for the healing energy, and I think that's
and
as
easy
a nerd,
world
as a
is
nerd.
Where, easy
yeah.
world is the healing energy. That's the amazing part. That's
it
that's
is.
What
it is.
Easy world does.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
continually bringing everything back to wholeness. It's like it's just that's its MO is healing and
yes.
wholeness. So, well, one thing I wanted to say, you know, we were talking about having a kit for healing or for, you know, spiritual upliftment or, you know, when you're in a spiritual crisis. And I wanted to let people know who are listening that at my Easy World website, which is iliveineasyworld.com, you'll see a little menu item on the left-hand side called Freebies. And on that, at that link, click on that, and you'll see a bunch of free items that you can get to remind yourself about Easy World, posters. And I just was inspired. I have inspiration of another kind of a poster I want to make, but there are posters to remind you to choose Easy World so that when you are in that low state and you think, you know, that difficult world or the world that you're seeing, that difficult world you're experiencing is all that is, that you'll have a reminder that, you know, there is a different reality that you can access by doing the Easy World invocation, which is I choose to live in an easy world where everything is easy, and then the Easy World actions, which are breathe and relax and allow, just allow whatever's going on in a difficult world to go on without you, and at the same time allow the amazing electromagnetic field to pull you gently into it and embrace you, and then to enjoy being in that space. The more you enjoy it, the more it increases in your experience, and then you can watch the magic unfold. And you know, if you have reminders around to remind you to do that, and if it doesn't seem to work the first time, try it again. Keep choosing Easy World, and you know, you'll probably get out of surgery too, or whatever it is that. And if not, the experience you have will be beautiful, wonderful, and loving, whatever it is.
Well, certainly, the object is not to escape surgery. The object is to embrace whatever it is that the help that is there comes in the form of perhaps surgery. The doctors are angelic beings who are helping you.
You're exactly right.
And the ER doctor really had no right, in my opinion, to just throw surgery onto you without asking for an orthopedic consult, you know. But anyway, he was a sort of he was who he was, and he deserves. He's a precious soul.
He called the next day to check up on me and said, "Well, now you know there's a crack there." So, but you know, I honor him for being the bad guy in my movie. You know, I put it there. I created him. I created that. Without him, the story wouldn't be as fun without his participation. But
I love that. Yeah.
You're so right, Kate, that you don't choose Easy World to escape difficult world, and that's something that that we all tend to think, oh, I'm going to do this to escape difficult world, but that means you're still in resistance. You're resisting what's going on, and you can't get to Easy World when you're in resistance. So you nailed that one.
Well, another thing is that so many people do have things, they do have to go to surgery. And they might see what you're saying as, oh my God, I must not be doing something right because I have to do surgery or something.
No. You're exactly right.
No.
It's Easy World is about an experience of love and ease and joy, and you can choose to do that no matter what you're going through.
Yes. So it's not dependent on whether, as an example, you get surgery or not. It's all happening no matter what's happening. You don't have control over certain circumstances in your life, but you do have control over whether you are in a state of ease or unease.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And healing is always there. Healing always happens, no matter what.
It's all that release business is one of the most important lessons we can learn anyway. That whole letting go business.
Yes.
You know, that giving up our control.
Allow,
right. And it's tough. I think it's one of the hardest things to learn.
And it's such a habit to try to control. It's a total habit.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe that's the... That's the ticket right there. I guess the whole control issue is needing to feel like, control freaks are everywhere. And just as you say, you have to honor them for being who they are. And you're in our movie. That's hysterical. But they teach us so much. I mean, the bosses who are punitive and the all these things that are happening in our society that we are... that we think are injustices and how dare they and this and that. And, I mean, I realized recently that I spend an awful lot of time talking with people, my friends, my nursing colleagues about how things could be different and how we can change things in this world. Somehow, I think a lot of people have a utopian vision and they think that we have some sort of control over changing things towards a better world, and I think we do, but we can become consumed in thinking about what needs to be changed.
Yeah.
The thing that needs to be changed is the negative, and instead we need to change our focus.
Well, yeah, and you can't, you know, if you start judging negative and positive, you're in difficult world because judgment is a tool of the difficult world dictator. So when you've decided that something is wrong with the world, you're automatically in a weaker position. You can't change anything by identifying with things being right or wrong. You have to just be love.
Yeah, and that's I think that humans tend to want to change things and always are considering what is wrong and what needs to be changed.
Right, and it's a habit.
And that's why nothing really ever changes.
Exactly. That's why all the committees in the whole world who get together and decide to have peace are never going to create peace.
Because they're concentrating on war or conflict, especially.
Or the lack of peace, just the lack of peace. You know, it's never going to be a group activity. In the way that we like to think, you know, you don't call a meeting and have, you know, people get together and think, oh, peace is a good idea. It starts with each one of us choosing to be more loving. I think
it's cool. Yeah.
Is that your doggy?
Yes.
Well, it sounds like, is it a she?
He's just come back from a pretty serious illness and.
Well,
he's
that's
like
what I was
going
to say. He sounds very lively, and
yeah,
I thought he was ill, so I'm happy to hear that.
He became like he's like a three-year-old again. He's Mr. Boundless Energy. I'm very excited about it.
That's awesome. Well,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, he's a good boy. He's our mascot on this show.
I see. A little heavy breathing.
Yeah.
He's our token heavy breather, yeah.
Oh my. Well, we have a few more, maybe hopefully years left with this guy. Because he is going to be 10, and he's just a beautiful dog. And we call him our Zen master.
He's almost 10, Kate.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hours are getting to that point so fast, yeah.
Yeah, I have an 11-year-old dog and an 8-year-old, and they're the ones that were so lively that they jerked me off my feet.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that something? Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's Yoli has done that. The thing is, as I said recently in a prayer that I wrote, that Yoli lives in an easy world whether he has a tumor or not.
Uh-huh, and exactly.
So it's not like suddenly he's in great shape and he's been given a grim diagnosis and he's bummed out. He's never been bummed out. Dogs are just amazing.
They are.
Well,
they're
and
the best.
He's like a child. He didn't hear the diagnosis. He didn't understand it, you know, so he didn't buy into it.
He didn't know that he was supposed to be
Right. I mean, we do that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I told everybody. Do not mention anything around this dog.
Right.
Do not give him any sympathy vibes. Do not, you know, of course I'm a control freak like that. Do not make him think there's anything wrong with him because there isn't.
Right. Right. but as people, we do that like the guy in the emergency room, you know, and then we have a choice as to whether we're going to buy into that stuff or not.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, our egos love to be right. They love to know something that somebody else doesn't know, and they love to be in authority and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's time to, let it go. And I like these new – well, of course, Easy World is not new, but it's just a way of tweaking your brain a little bit so that you see it a little bit differently. And it's a tool. It's a beautiful tool.
Right. It's recognizing a world that's already been, it's always been there. It's a way to connect with it in a way that is easy to get. I mean, it only makes sense that we would be given an easy way to perceive the world that is of complete love and benevolence and totally supportive of us when we have pretty much been ignoring that and acting like it didn't exist. Yeah. And I think that it's just simply time for us to know it and honor it and choose it and experience it more and more and more. And I was just the lucky fool who got to, you know, tell people about it. And, you know, I will forever be grateful that I was entrusted with that message. And now that it's out and being spread in large ways, I'm thrilled over that, because it's, it always was way, 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 way bigger than me. I mean, I couldn't even say enough ways to way, 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 way enough to express how much bigger it is than me. But, you know, it's time that we love ourselves enough to understand that we are completely supported, and that our well-being is the first top priority of, you know, of the God in us, the God consciousness of all that is, so much so that a whole schematic is in place to ensure our well-being if we just simply choose that and choose to operate in that reality matrix.
Yes. What was your original? There's another one.
We have dogs because it's so late. I didn't even think to put out the do not disturb sign, and I think UPS just rang the front doorbell. So I apologize, but since
we love that. We absolutely love that. That's the thing.
That's part of the show.
Yes, it is.
Good.
It always has been. Yeah.
The dogs can be an heavy breathing.
The heavy breathing, the panting, and the barking. Yeah
there we go.
The territory.
Yeah, we got. See, they were also. They ostensibly were barking at the doorbell, but I think they were just saying, "Julia's right." Easy. It's always there for us.
We're not reality TV. We're reality radio.
We have
dogs. And have
I love
those.
That.
Yeah.
I know.
That's really good. That's good. We are reality radio.
Reality radio.
So what was your original glimpse and vision of your Easy World concept and experience, your experiential vision? Yeah.
Yeah, how I discovered Easy World?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a really, I think, iconic story in my life. I was in the midst of trying to figure something out, and it was a multifaceted project with so many different tasks and parts to it that it was just blowing my mind. But yet, as our minds do, it just kept on trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I went to bed that night trying to figure it out, and I couldn't go to sleep. Well, I finally went to sleep. I woke up again 4:20 a.m., that time that always seems to be the time it is when I wake up with something on my mind, trying to work it out. You can't do anything practical about it really much, because, you know, if it involves contacting other people, you're not going to get a real happy response from most people if you call them at 4:20 in the morning.
No.
So, you know, you're kind of on your own. So I was lying there stewing about this, and I was exhausted. And finally, I just heard this still small voice, and it was my own voice, but it was the kinder, gentler Julia voice that said, "Julia, you could just choose to live in an easy world where everything is easy." And I went, "Hey," like if I were a dog, my ears would have pricked up.
Oh, that's cute, yeah.
I said, "Ooh, that sounds wonderful, easy world." So I just said, "Okay, what the heck, you know, why not? Nothing else is working." So I said, "Okay, I choose to live in an easy world where everything is easy." And I took a deep breath, relaxed, fell right to sleep. I mean, right to sleep. Slept like a baby. Slept a little later than I had, you know, originally intended. But when I got up, all of the problems that had been confronting me when I went to bed had solved themselves. Mm-hmm. And there were people lined up to do all these different tasks I was so worried about trying to find people for. Because before I had gone to bed, I'd done something that I wasn't even considering to be significant at all. I had put in a request on servicemagic.com, which is, you know, where you find different contractors, supposedly pre-screened contractors in your area, for some of the different jobs that I needed done, building things, excavating things, concrete, just different stuff. And really didn't put set much store by that because I just figured I was going to have to make cold calls out of the Yellow Pages and call around and ask people. But I got up, and there were people not only had emailed me, they had called, wanted to come talk to me. We had the first person that came turned out to be, instead of just a concrete contractor the way I thought, he was a general contractor, and he could do everything on the list except for the electrical. And I had an electrical guy already that I knew of, so I got everything lined up, and, you know, there's more and more details to it. You can read it in Choosing Easy World. It's in chapter one, I believe, is the chapter it's in. You can read the details to it, but it was just remarkable. So I went to bed. I totally had forgotten about Easy World when I got up. I wasn't thinking, oh, goody, let's see what Easy World came up with at all. But once I started seeing how everything worked out, I thought, man, that was easy. And I went, oh, yeah. Yeah, now I remember I chose Easy World. So that got my attention. And then, you know, I started, you know, later in the day I had another kind of amazing, kind of small miracle, everyday miracle kind of experience by choosing Easy World. And I thought, hey, this stuff works. And then somebody else I told about it, and they tried it, and it worked, and it was amazing. And then I blogged about it and posted it on a forum, and everybody was going, hey, I want to live in Easy World too, or yeah, I'm all for Easy World, I'm going to move to Easy World. It was like crazy, you know, hundreds of people just started climbing on the bandwagon, and I'm like, sure, this is great, you know, we all could live in Easy World. And so, yeah, that's how it got going. And I started a website, iliveineasyworld.com, and eventually I wrote a book about Easy World, which the story of getting the book published was an Easy World miracle in and of itself, that I got a major publisher on the first query. I got a literary agent my first query out after I had Googled literary agent and spirit, and I queried her, and she said yes. And then on her first try of finding a publisher, St. Martin's Press, which is one of the big, the major publishers, said yes. And that's just, you know, if you've ever tried to publish a book, you know, that's crazy different.
Well, and I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Not normal, or, you know, not the norm for people's experience. And just, you know, over and over again, Easy World has proved itself out in my life. And, you know, so I needed to share it. People were asking for a book because I have another book. You know, my first book is Recreating Eden. And I love to write, and so I wrote the next book to help everybody understand about Easy World and about the difficult world dictator and how to choose Easy World no matter what, and, you know, strategies and other people's stories about choosing Easy World. And I'm going to do another shameless plug for my book, because, you know, what could be easier and better as a holiday gift than giving somebody the gift of Easy World? You can just get that book, Choosing Easy World, and hand them a new lease on life.
Now, iliveineasyworld.com, we can order the book on that site. I actually have your book, and I do like the book very much. It is excellent.
Cool. Well, you know, you can go to Barnes & Noble and buy it, or many independent bookstores will have it. You can go to Books A Million, or what are some of those other Borders.
I think you mentioned Amazon. And
bookstores everywhere. Yeah. I always wanted to be able to say my book is available in bookstores everywhere, and now I can. And you can get it online. You can get it at Amazon, or, you know, BN.com, or lots of places. I don't personally sell Choosing Easy World. I can't. I'm not allowed to personally sell it. But you can. There's a link to the different online booksellers from. Well, I also have a site that's just for the book. It's choosingeasyworld.com. You can go there, or go to iliveineasyworld.com, and you'll see, you know, a icon for an ad for the book, and you can click on that, and it'll take you there. But I would appreciate it hugely if people would help me spread the word about Easy World, because it's really, really, really empowering.
Yeah. So what do you think, why do you think people would resist the whole concept of Easy World?
Because they have an ego that's totally threatened by Easy World.
I mean, there's
ego
ego
has no power in Easy World. There's no ego in Easy World.
Yeah, that's cool.
There's the difficult world dictator. It depends on keeping difficult world going in order to have a job and existence. When, you know, Easy World is a world of non-resistance. A difficult world is a world of resistance. And you've got to be resisting to keep difficult world alive. But when you go into Easy World, you let it go. You just go, okay. That's why, you know, like when you have a massage, how you feel like you're in heaven, because you have moved into Easy World through relaxing. Relaxation is the key to getting to Easy World.
Yes. Well,
so,
Joan and I are very relaxed.
Yeah. Easy World, you're just naturally Easy World gals.
Yes. I think that people, what happens is that the false beliefs surface up in people's minds about, you know, Easy World versus the world of struggle, and you have to work, you know, this belief that you have to work for what is important in your life, and
right,
and you have to be serious, and you can't have fun, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's we have been completely bamboozled by the difficult world dictator. We have been completely misled, completely programmed for difficult world, when we were designed to live in Easy World. We were designed to thrive in Easy World. You know, little review, Easy World is the same world as the Garden of Eden, that original, the original place, if you want to call it that, for human beings, where everything's provided without struggle, without strife. It's just there for the enjoyment. And if you recall the story, you know, the Judeo-Christian tradition and some other religions, many other religions talk about a beautiful garden where everything was idyllic, and then the residents of the garden made a choice that sent them into another world of struggle and strife and pain and all that stuff. And essentially, that is just, you know, it's a description of us leaving Easy World. We, instead of listening to the spirit within us and obeying spirit's voice, we started listening to the other voice, which in the story is the serpent, which I believe is the reptilian brain, that primitive brain structure that we have that is perfectly wonderful and valuable for staying an embodied human being, because it makes sure the dump the adrenaline so you can jump out of the way of a bus bearing down on you or whatever. It's great for that, but it's not supposed to run your life. And it's a fear-based physical survival entity. So we started listening to this fear-based entity and honoring it as our God, and instead of listening to the love voice of our spirit, and that put us into difficult world, and we've developed a whole... you know, beyond just a culture, a whole human just way of operating is difficult world now. But we're originally designed to be perfectly provided for and just to enjoy ourselves in Easy World.
Well, when you think that as children, I think parents think, especially as when we were children, our parents in those days believed it was their responsibility to teach their children the ways of the world.
Yes.
And they thought that it would be irresponsible probably to teach them how to have too much fun, because that's not the way of the world.
Yes.
So
yeah, I think that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're programmed with that stuff. And it's not that our parents are deliberately trying to hurt us. They're trying to help us. They think that's the way because they're, you know, they, I speak to this quite strongly in Recreating Eden, is that, you know, they feel that it is their utter responsibility to train us out of our natural way of being. And they don't mm-hmm. think of it that way, but, you know, to eat at mealtimes instead of when we're hungry, to be quiet when the sound is welling up in us to be released, to stop crying when we need to release the discordant energy of, you know, an experience that was out of harmony with our bodies or, our feelings. And all that stuff, we're trained to deny those things. We're trained to suck it up. We're trained mm-hmm. to, you know, basically we are systematically disempowered from the time we're in the womb, practically. And it's not that our parents were trying to wound us or harm us. It's that they had bought into that legacy of dysfunction that's been handed down for, you know, eons since humans first created a difficult world.
Right. And so that would be the first part of our lives of, that, you know, it's almost like we have to put together the pieces and become systematically empowered now.
Yes.
For the
yes.
rest of our lives. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And yes.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And
do you have children?
I have stepchildren. I don't have. And I have fur children. I don't have biological children.
I'm always curious, the reason I asked that question. I have stepchildren and fur children. And I always am curious how people who are, you know, into this, new age, but this new life, this new vision, sort of the easy world, how they teach their children from the beginning and how they deal with that.
You know, I think that if I did have, if I were responsible for the upbringing, my stepchildren lived with their mom, and we, you know, saw them frequently, but you know, they did not live with us, so their influence was powerfully from her. But if I were the influencer, I would teach both things, but I would make honoring your inner guidance the most important thing. You know, I would really put an emphasis on honoring your inner guidance and speaking your truth, and understand that until a certain age, in this world that we're straddling the world. I mean, I probably wouldn't explain that to an infant, you know, but maybe I would. I don't know. But you know, to help them understand that there are two worlds that we're living in. And here are the rules of this one world, and here are the rules of the other world, and how can we live these two worlds together? And there are people, there are now so many people who know about Easy World who've read the book and, you know, heard me talk about it and who've studied it, that tell me that their children are total naturals at Easy World and love Easy World and make up songs about Easy World and games about Easy World. And
oh, that's right. I can see that. It's automatic. It's the way that they
natural.
Are in Easy World.
Yeah.
Right, because they're still – exactly, because Easy World is our default reality. You know, in the beginning it's the original reality. Difficult World is the pardon the language, bastard reality, the reality that – was not truly birthed of, you know, directly from the divine. It's born of our creation, our human creation. I believe really that it's not a bad thing. That it's just a dynamic that we empowered to give our unlimited consciousness something interesting to play with and to experience. And the reason we want to get out of it is because it's very uncomfortable. And the reason we don't like it and feel like it's bad is because there's a lot of pain involved in Difficult World. But that ultimately it's a fine thing, but it's nice to know how to choose to not be in it because it hurts.
Right.
I like the idea of knowing the rules of each.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. Well, we've actually come to the end of the program.
Holy moly.
Yeah, it was really a delightful hour.
It was that, and I'm always inspired when you're on, Julia. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Joan.
You help us stay on target.
Stay on target, yeah. Thanks.
I love hanging out with you ladies. You're fun and easy.
We live in easy world.
That's right.
And if we don't, we remind each other, don't we?
Absolutely. And thank you so much. And
well,
I'm so glad
you.
You're healing so well.
Well, thank you. And I hope everybody will come to iliveineasyworld.com and download some of those freebies, because there's some holiday ones. Because, you know, the holidays bring out Difficult World Dictator.
Oh, my gosh.
Some Easy World holiday posters for several different world religions and so on. So you can go to iliveineasyworld.com and download those for free and put them up around your house so you remember to choose Easy World when the going gets rough.
Fabulous.
Thank you, Julia. We will do
thank
that.
You. Okay, thanks, and ladies. Have a great night.
Thank
Have
you.
Have a great holiday.
Oh, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Goodbye, Joan.